Good morning. Let's turn in our Bibles as a preparatory few verses to the Psalms. You don't actually have to turn to them since this is not our primary text, but if you'd like to, you can look on. I want to read these to set the bigger idea. Psalm 36, 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Exclamation point. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57, 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 91, 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. That's all from the Psalms. Did you catch the common phrase in each of these verses? You did, didn't you? This thing of being under the wings of God. Right? The psalm writer saw the place of safety under God, under the wings, under this picture of God. And they use this phrase, under His protection or under His wings. So it's a metaphor, right? It's not literally. God doesn't have wings. It's a metaphor. It's symbolic. It's symbolic that we're under the Almighty. We're under His grace, under His authority, under His protection. So hang on to this. That's the truth. I want everybody to hang on to that. You young people, you children. The protection of God is like being under great covering of wings. That's our theme for today. Now, over the past year, we've seen the lives of numerous Old Testament saints, men, and even most recently, our look at a godly woman, Hannah. But each of these, God made them for His glory. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Joseph and Moses, on and on, and Joshua and Gideon. All of them were vessels God raised up for His glory, without a doubt. And that's been the theme of what we've been looking at. As we focused in on them, we looked at a defining moment, right? For each of them, that if you wanted to put it this way, it kind of captured the essence of their life. Who they were in God, and who or how they served Him, what God did with them. So we zeroed in on a key moment. We sometimes like to call these a watershed moment. You ever heard it said that way? A watershed. Does anybody know what a watershed is? I got tickled at this thinking about it. We use a phrase. You know what a watershed is? It's where the water breaks. You go to the top of the Rocky Mountains, and the rain can come down and hit on one side of the Rockies, and it goes that way. And the drop, just a few inches to this side, can hit on this side of the mountain, and it goes that way. And they end up in very different places. Theoretically, there's places where water starts a foot apart. One ends up in the Atlantic, one ends up in the Pacific, right? It's a watershed. It's a breakpoint. It's a defining place where direction happens. And so we call them watershed moments. These events change circumstances, don't they? They change. They create a series of events that lead to an end result that we look back and go, that was God that did that. They're historic for the individuals. They're historic for others that are impacted by it. Our lives have watershed moments, don't they? In the kindness of God. Our very birth, first in our physical man, and second in our new birth in Jesus Christ, that's the ultimate watershed moment of life, to go from death to life. But we all have watershed moments. I met a junior high girl in 1974 that I've now been married to 34 years this month. Praise be to God. I met her at a point in time, right? I met Mac and Linda Tomlinson in 1986 in this town not far from here. And the rest is history, as they say, the relationship, the kindness of God and all that. I met Jeff Price in the winter or early spring of 2000, which led to him meeting Bob Woodruff, which led to him meeting Tommy Price and marriage and all. So you see, these are watershed moments. Sometimes we might think it's a watershed moment, but most of the time we don't see it that way. I had a guy call me on the phone 5 or 6 years ago, happened to be Michael Tully, just inquiring about this church. It's a watershed in its own way. Al Whittinghill, who was here ministering to Mac in the hospital a few weeks back, told me about when he met Leonard Ravenhill. And Brother Ravenhill looked up at him and said, "Young man, can you take me to Waco?" Isn't that right, Mac? I think it was Waco. You know what Al did? Took him to Waco. And it changed his life. Watershed moments. Don't ever think small about these, beloved. God's in them. Well, this next person had a watershed moment without even knowing that it was that. Her history, she, okay, another woman of God. Her history and Israel's history and redemptive history and the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ were all impacted by one decision she made. One watershed, one decision. You talk about a watershed in your life, she had it and didn't even realize it. I'm referring to an obscure Moabite woman. Who is she? Ruth. Ruth. She was a nobody, it seemed, right? Nor are we. We're not anybody special. God has great plans and He does great things for His name's sake. And here was a Moabite woman who had been brought into family through marriage and a whole series of events occur. She was a chosen vessel of God. Some of your study notes, or your, if you look in the Bible on the side or in the back, they'll call her the woman of constancy. That's a phrase you'll hear. I prefer the woman under God's wings. That's why we looked at those Psalms. Ultimately, that's what we all need and want to be in, or under God's wings. And she made a decision to be under the wings of the Almighty, to be under God. And it had profound impact on her life and others and in the series of events that God unfolded. So everything hinged on one key moment for Ruth, a watershed moment in her life, and everything that happened flowed out of that one decision. So turn to the book of Ruth, and let's pick it up. I usually like to say that this person's life is a monument to, and last time with Hannah, a monument to a high view of motherhood as she dedicated Samuel unto God. Here, Ruth is a monument to you and I putting ourselves under God's wings, under His protection. The ramifications of this are staggering. I really want the young people to hear me. Where you spend your life, what you put yourself under, it's already been exhorted to you today. Where you go, being under Jesus Christ, seeking God, being under Him, that's the only place for you. Don't listen to anything else this world has to offer. It's all vanity and lies. There is one set of wings, if you will, to be under, and that's the living God. And you come to Him through Jesus Christ. You come by faith. You say, "Wash me, cleanse me. I want to be with You." And that's what we see ultimately here in the life of Ruth. There are four scenes that we're going to glance at. We're going to hit them briefly. But the four scenes happen in the four chapters. And it's the watershed of where it goes. It's just phenomenal. All right, let me give the historic context and then we'll pick up in the text. The story opens in the book of Ruth in the days of the judges of Israel. And there is a famine in the land. It causes great difficulty for the people. You children, you know what a famine is, right? What's a famine? There's drought, right? There's difficulty for food. They can't grow things. So there's difficult days. And there's a man, it says here, right at the beginning of the book of Ruth, his name is Elimelech. And they live in Bethlehem, Judah. And Elimelech has a wife, Naomi, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And here they are in the famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, and the difficulty has gotten so bad that he says, let us leave here and let's go to Moab, implying where we can get food and where we can survive. So he decides to leave his land and journey to the land of Moab. After they are there, what happens? Doesn't sound like they were there very long at this point, and Elimelech dies. He dies in a strange land, if you want to call it that. Shortly thereafter, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they marry Moabite women. The ladies' names are Orpah and Ruth. So now we have a widow named Naomi. She has two sons, and they've taken wives out of the Moabites. And then the two sons die. The two sons die. And so we have three widows. We have a woman whose husband brought her to a strange land. She has two daughters-in-law, no grandchildren, and no men to take care of them. It was very significant in this day. And so, they are left as widows. Now what do? This is where the story begins to come to the watershed. What do they do? Naomi decides, I am going to go back to my people, to the land of Bethlehem, Judah. I'm going to go back. But you daughters, she called them her daughters at this point. She related to them like they were her daughters. She said, you should go and return to your people. Stay with your people. Stay here. But Orpah and Ruth don't want to leave her. There's tears. Both of the women say, we don't want to leave you. But Naomi emphasizes, don't stay with me. I have nothing to provide for you. I have no more sons. I can't have any more sons. I don't have anything for you to take care of you with. In fact, Naomi is so under it, hard pressed, if you will, downcast, that she says to her daughters-in-law, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So then what does Ruth say? What does Ruth do? You're at a point. Does she go back to her people? Do I stay with this widow Naomi and go with her? Pick it up. Let's go to the text now. Key scene number one is the true watershed moment in chapter one. Turn to verses 16 and 17. This emotional scene. Naomi telling the daughters-in-law, go back to your people. You've been kind to me. Listen to what Ruth says. Verse 16. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part you and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You'll hear this passage quoted periodically. Where you go, I will go. You'll hear this in marriage. 34 summers ago, not far from here, the pastor for us in that day used these very verses in our wedding ceremony. I remember Dr. Armstrong doing that. But the picture here is of a young woman who says, I will stay with Naomi. But she had a bigger purpose in it. Why did Ruth want to be with Naomi? She wanted to be with her God. Take hold of this, beloved. The watershed for Ruth is where she wanted to place herself. Where did she want to put herself? She said, I will be with you, Naomi. I will be with you. I'll be under your God. I will be with your people. I will be in your land and I will die there. They will bury me there. Do not send me away. I only have one choice and that's to go with you. She wanted to be with her God. She wanted to be with his people. This is a staggering statement. I guess Brother Conrad would call this her profession of faith. You only have the words of life. You are the Savior. You are the God of salvation. Ruth wanted to be with God and his people. It wasn't a small decision. She wasn't weighing over finances. She wasn't weighing over social issues. She said, I want to be with you. I want to be with the people of God. She knew of his works. Who wouldn't have known of his works? Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses and Joshua, the God of Gideon. She would know of these men. She would know of the renowned of God through the ages of the Israelites. She had married in to the family. So she knew of the reputation, the honor, the greatness, the majesty of the living God. Does this remind you of Rahab? You can't help but think back of Rahab, right? Back in Joshua 2, the spies come in and Rahab houses them, and then right when she's about to send them away, what does she say to them? Anybody remember? Don't forget me. I know that your God is the one true God. I've heard what he's done. He dried up the Red Sea. He's crushed the enemies. I know he's the living God. Ruth wanted to be under this God. Why does somebody say to Mac Tomlinson at the hospital, your room has the most peace in it of any room here? Get under the wings of the Almighty and you'll find peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Come to me. You have peace. You have joy. You have power and strength and grace to press on. I mean, it's big. The gospel right here. Being under him. So Ruth says, I want to be under him. I want to be with your people. I want to be with your God. I want to walk with you. And she is absolutely steadfast in her decision, isn't she? Absolutely unmovable. Naomi doesn't even try to talk her out of it at this point. Naomi's very downcast. Ruth is very hopeful because she wants to be with God's people. Consider this, brothers and sisters. In the lowest of moments, Ruth put her trust or put her hope in the one true God. Now this is powerful. She did not look for something else to take care of her. She said, I will go to the one true God and be with his people. It's by no means is she putting her confidence in Naomi or somebody else other than Naomi. She's putting her hope, her trust in her God. Beloved, we need to get hold of this truth, don't we? It doesn't matter if you've been redeemed a month or 30 or 40 years. We need to get hold of this truth. Do we distill everything down to this? I want to be with God. I want to be with His people. I want to be where He is. I like the way Piper said it that one time. I want to be where the waterfall of God is. Where is He pouring out His Spirit? Where is He working? That's where I want to be. High moments, low moments. What key decisions you make in your life, make them to be with God and His people in His ways, to be in the ways of the Almighty. Do we distill it all down to this? You're going to buy a house, take a job, you're making a big decision. Lord, where do you have us to go? What do you have for us? When we came back to Denton 14 plus years ago, I didn't see any of this ahead. I just knew that God was saying, this is here, this is now, go with me. I mean, Mac and I sat around and talked little small conversations. Had no idea that God was saying, come under my wings, I've got big things. That's what He does. It's what He did in the days of Israel. That's what He does through Jesus Christ today in the earth, in America, in Asia, around the world. Our God hadn't diminished at all. We have the one true God. Ruth had the one true God. So do we think of it like that? I want to be with God and His people. You brothers, you single people, you young people. You young people, listen to me. Jesse and Quentin and Mary Ann and all of you young people, Precious young people, where are you going to spend your days? What are you going to do with your life? Don't waste it on the world and folly. Come to Jesus Christ. Come to the fountain of life. Put yourself under the Almighty. What else is there to live for? You have life and nothing else. Ruth is preaching to us, thy God will be my God. Your people will be my people. I'm going to go with Him. I had an experience in the 80s where a friend of mine worked for Campus Crusade for Christ, and dear brother, and he wanted to take me to meet a player, a basketball player that played in the NBA. And he was a Christian, a very humble man, and Tom and a few others know his name. His name was Bobby Jones. Played college ball and then went on to the NBA, and at this time he was playing with Philadelphia. And they came to Dallas, and so my friend said, let's go, I want you to meet him, he'll come and be with us after the game. What is a guy, a pro athlete, spending with two nobody Christians after the game? You see, and in a sense, he was choosing who he wanted to be with. So we wait after the game outside at Reunion Arena, and here comes Bobby Jones, comes walking up to us. Just quietly. No media, no fanfare, no I'm in big and bad, no decision. I am the servant of the Almighty. He just walks up to us and he just begins to talk on the Lord. Three of us. Now, I know you're having trouble picturing this by today's standards. This happened. And he's talking about doing a Bible study with the other players. He was talking about the priorities of his life. He said, I want to walk with God. I'm 25. Whatever it was, late 20s, and I'm listening to this man, and I'm thinking, I feel like I'm dealing with a lowly Sunday school teacher in a church of 50 people. That's how he carried himself. His priorities in his life were to walk with God. He was coming close to retirement of playing basketball, and he basically said, I want to go on and do other things. Reminds you of Eric Little, the great runner for Scotland in the 1920s. I run for God physically, but I'm going to run for God on the mission field. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to put myself under the wings of God. Whether I'm running on a track and field area or I'm running out there on the wildness of the outback somewhere, I'm going to run with God. I'm going to live for God. You get it? I could sit down. You get it? We put ourselves under the wings of the Almighty. And that's what Ruth did, although she didn't know what was to come. So Naomi keeps Ruth with her. And they returned to Bethlehem, Judah, and they lived a nice, quiet life together, right? Well, hang on. This watershed moment, it keeps going. Right? I mean, Mac and I, for those who know the inside story, when we were together in May of 2000, in that little corner booth area, that wasn't the only thing to come out of that day. We stand here together because of what God was doing. They go back to Bethlehem, Judah because of what God was doing. Chapter 2. The gleaning in the fields. Who we work for. Where we live. Who we are acquainted with. Who we interact with. All of these things, beloved, are a part of us being under God's leading. They come back to Bethlehem, Judah, to the people of Naomi. And it's at the beginning of barley harvest. Seems like a fairly small detail, right? Barley harvest. Well, what's going to happen with barley harvest? You know, Michael, come on, tell me, you know. So you have tax season. Nothing big comes out of tax season. People get stressed and they file a bunch of papers and everybody grumbles. Now hang on here. When the events are happening, just the modern of daily events of life, is God not in all of it? He's in everything. As Brother Spurgeon said, the grain of sand in the March wind is led by the Almighty. So here they are, and there dwells in Bethlehem, Judah, a relative of Naomi, and his name is Boaz. Now here, saints, are God's ways being unfolded, and Ruth, again, does not have knowledge of it, but she does have this on her mind, I will be with the people of God. So God's ways are beginning to start moving of what He has in all this. But keep this in mind. Ruth wanted to be under Him. That's her focus. And now grace is multiplying, taking over in more and more glorious ways. I mean, I think of Ephesians 2. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus, right? Unto good works. God has ordained these. He's appointed these, our lives. Whether we live today or a week or 10 more years, what we're about is the glory of God. And that's what Ruth was about. But they've got to eat. Right? They need food. So Ruth says, I will go and glean in the field with the reapers. And it just happens. I looked at one or two other translations. Look at verse 3. It says in the King James, and she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to lie on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Somebody have that handy in the ESV. Read it out loud. What does it say there in verse 3? Happened. She happened. That just sounds kind of, well, it could have happened. No, it doesn't. God happened to lead her to the field belonging to Boaz. Boaz is not there at that moment. But Ruth goes out to work, do honest work, provide for her and her mother-in-law, and she is led of the Almighty, the very one she said, your people will be my people. I want to go with Him, with you. And she comes now to the field of Boaz. Boaz comes back. He greets them. He sees that there's a different woman there with the group that are the reapers, and he deals kindly with her. Pick it up. This scene is about God's mercy now being poured out and what will happen in the life of Ruth. Verse 10. Ruth fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, that being Boaz, why have I found grace in thy sight, in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hitherto. Verse 12, the key statement. The Lord, this is what Boaz says to her. The Lord recompense or reward your work, and a full reward be given to thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Underline. There it is. Boaz says, the Lord bless you. The Lord reward you. Your testimony, your life has already been talked about. Your kindness to Naomi. But he says, chiefly, Boaz says, you have put yourself under the wings of God. You've come to trust Him. And so may the Lord reward you. May He bless you. May He pour out Himself upon you. Can you imagine what Ruth must have felt? I mean, it's just amazing that she's here. But God's hand, God's kindness, God's loving kindness is all over this. Boaz is an honorable man. He's a relative of Naomi's. And so by marriage, her first marriage, Ruth is related to him in a sense. God's hand is in this. Ruth is now in God's ways of protection and provision. Somebody says, well, you're going to talk about putting yourself under God. What does that really matter? What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Well, it means that you have Him with you in everything. The living God. Ask the Pharaohs. Ask the Herods. Ask the Nebuchadnezzars. Ask the leaders through the history of the world. Do you want to be on the side of the Almighty? Well, here, that's what Ruth has done. She has God protecting and providing for her. And in this moment, all she's doing is gleaning. She's out gleaning with the other workers. But here's a wonderful truth to this. She is faithful in little things, and God is faithful in all things, right? Brothers, sisters, young people, if we choose, I want to honor God, just leave it at that. Just be faithful. Just obey Him. Walk with Him. As for me and my house, as Joshua said, I'm going to serve the Lord. If we're faithful in little things, God's with us. He's faithful in all. We don't have to fret over it. We don't have to reevaluate it. Jesus Christ is with us. He's with us to the end. And that's all that we have to give ourselves to thinking about is Him. So Ruth, who's been faithful in working, is now being blessed with a series of events that what God's taken care of her. And even Naomi, the very mother-in-law who in chapter 1 said, the hand of the Lord's against us. Look at chapter 2, verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord, be He of the Lord, who hath not left off His kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Naomi even herself realizes this relationship, this place with Boaz, it's the kindness of God in that. Are you thinking about things in your own life as I go through this where you can think about God did this, His kindness was there? They're not just random events, but how God orders your steps, has you meet somebody, come under influence, hear a certain sermon, etc., that God comes and in it, He's not only protecting you, but He's giving you fresh provision. He's feeding your soul. He's giving you hope. He's giving you fresh faith. That's what's happening. You're in the way of His protection or His covering, and He's taking care of you. We ought to really reflect over this. We leave today. We ought to leave today saying, Lord, I want my steps. I want my ways. I want where I work in the harvest field. I want what I'm about to have Your blessing on it. I want my hospital room to have the fullness of God. Now that's living the Christian life right there. God wants to own it all. He does own it all. It's all His, but in our own lives. When I was a boy, I learned a little bit about being under somebody. This is a true story. When my dad was teaching at the college, he had come here from Arkansas. And when he was in graduate school there, he did some graduate teaching. And one of the graduate students he had that was a number of years younger was a wide receiver who played pro ball. Lance Allworth. Any of the old-timers remember that name. Well, at the end of his career, he came here to Dallas and played for the football team. So he came up here for a pro-am, one of these golf events. And a friend of mine invited me. This all seems fairly harmless, right? But I'm just talking about how God, even in little things, He shows you. My dad said to me, I didn't want to do it, by the way. I was embarrassed. My dad said, you need to go introduce yourself to him and tell him your dad, who your dad is. I know him. I taught him when I was doing a graduate teaching. Dad, I don't really want to do that. But he convinced me. So I was probably 11-ish. Thereabouts. And so I went to the pro-am with my friend, told my friend, he's like going, yeah, right, you're just going to stroll up to this wide receiver and tell him. So I go up to him, I say hi to him, and who my dad is. He looked at me, and he smiled, he said, well, that's just great. You're with me for the day. You're sticking with me. Can you imagine my experience? I thought, well, I'm sticking with him for the day. Now, again, in that day, the media hype was not nearly as over the top as it is today. But me and my friend, he took us, he was playing in a twosome, as I remember it, and he took us on all 18 holes with him. You would have thought I was his son. He loved her, had a true care for me, and he said, stay with me. It was quite a day, kind of surreal for an 11-year-old boy. But the point is, that's a symbolic of a great God who takes care of us. Come under me. Come to me. Right? The Lord is a strong tower. What do? We run to Him. The righteous run there too. And so I learned, even as an 11, I think I had just been converted within that year. I learned in a sense there, put yourself under where God has you to be. So, beloved, here's Ruth now gleaning, working in the fields, and God's protecting and providing her. Let's keep going. I got to move along. Chapter 3, Naomi has an idea, has a suggestion, has an instruction. Because Boaz had told Ruth what? You stay with my group. You stay with my people or my people and work the area that they're in. So what began is, I will go with you, Naomi. I will be with your God. I will be with your people. I will go to your land. I will die with your people. Now things are really taking off. Boaz says, stay with my people. And so Naomi obviously sees it as a tremendous blessing and opportunity. Opportunity in a good way. We don't fully appreciate now the importance of what's fixing to happen here. Ruth needed a kinsman redeemer. Somebody to take her in. Somebody to care for her. A kinsman redeemer. One of the great pictures of Jesus Christ who takes us in. He takes us in. He marries us in union with Christ. And so here, Naomi says, you need to go, Ruth, and at the end of the threshing, you need to go in and present yourself to Boaz. Now, this is an honorable thing that happens here. But she says to her daughter-in-law, this is the opportunity. She says to Ruth, tonight when the men finish the thrashing, and it's a celebration. These people had been through years of famine. There's corn and barley and all these things. And they're working all this. And there's a celebration is a part of it. And at the end of that time, when Boaz is going to lay down to rest, Naomi tells her, prepare yourself and go in and lay at his feet. Naomi understands this man, Boaz, could be her kinsman redeemer. Beautiful picture here. Matthew Henry said this, listen, she, Ruth, came to put herself under his protection as the person appointed by the divine law to be her protector. Ruth had already done this with God. Now God's doing this with Boaz for Ruth. So the plan was, come in and present yourself or put yourself there at his feet. Nothing fleshly, nothing dishonorable, nothing God dishonoring in this. There was a certain way she was to possess herself, meaning Ruth, and how she did this. And so Ruth does this in a dignified way, not a degrading way. Stay with me, young people, listen to me. This young woman, this virtuous woman, Ruth, did this very act of going to present herself before Boaz in an honorable way. She did it in a dignified manner, not in degrading manner. We'll get to the text here in a second. You can't help but just call a time out here, right? What a contrast to our day. Here is a woman of virtue, not using a worldly technique or vanity, yielded to God's ways, honoring this great man Boaz. Everything out there teaches all of you girls, essentially at any age, but certainly you young girls, to not do it that way at all. To not esteem virtue, to not esteem holiness, to not possess yourself in honor. And here's this woman doing all of that unto God. Our day tells young people to destroy their lives. So let the life of Ruth, the God of Ruth, speak to you today. You are precious. Possess yourself in honor and dignity. And that's what she did. Let's turn to chapter 3. So now we have at the end, it's after midnight. The men are done. The work is done. Boaz lays down. He falls asleep. She goes in and lays at his feet. Boaz kind of startles, wakes up and wonders, who is that? Pick it up, verse 10. And we'll back up a little bit. Verse 8. He turned at midnight and he says, behold, a woman is at his feet. He said, who art thou? And she said, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. There's very symbolic language in that. And he said, blessed be thou, the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether rich or poor. Poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit there is a kinsman nearer than I. That was verse 12. What does Boaz say to her? Boaz again says, blessed be thou of the Lord. He commends her. She did not play the worldly way. She did not go after the other young men. She didn't try to do evil things, get caught up in a relationship that would destroy her virtue and her integrity. He said, blessed be thou, the Lord, insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And then he goes on and says, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. She has come to him. He understands the symbolism, right? What's the symbolism of Ruth being there? The symbolism of her saying, you could cover me. Her symbolism is, you could take me in as a kinsman redeemer. She knows what she's saying, and he knows what she's communicating. I mean, this is a very delicate thing when you look at the particulars of this. And yet, beloved, her heart attitude was right. And therefore, her actions were right. Our parents used to say to us, if y'all get your thinking right, if you view this right, then what you do will be right. Your parents ever said that? Our heart attitude, when it is right, then our steps, what we do, who we're with, what we turn away from, what we want to be about, where we spend our energy, where we spend our thoughts. If our attitude, if our mind is right, if our thinking is right, if our heart is right before God, then our actions, what we go about, will be ordered of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Read Psalm 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. This Ruth is like a tree, in a sense, being planted by the rivers of water. She is under God, and God is with her. Her actions were right because her thinking was right. We can control the way we think, right? I don't know who I'm going to get a phone call next, or who I'm going to meet, or you don't either. But if your heart attitude is, I want to go in the ways of God, I want to honor Him, then your actions will flow out of that. We should take note of this. Children, take note of this. Get your heart attitude to honor God. And therefore make decisions. Put yourself in the way of conduct that honors God. And what happens because of that? He will guide you. He will lead you. He will direct your steps. We shouldn't hesitate to say, that's the way of blessing. I didn't say prosperity, financial explosion. And that's the way of blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If our attitude's right, our actions are right, we can trust God, whatever that means. The blessing of just peace and being protected from ruin. You're going to have, probably in your life, you're going to have other people come to you, and they're going to be hurting, and they're going to be desperate, but they know you're a Christian. They're going to come to you, and they're going to say, can I just be with you? Can I talk to you? You've got to be ready, beloved. Because if you're in the ways of God, sometimes people say, I don't know what's going on with you, but I want to be in on this. Why did they come to Jesus Christ, even those who didn't believe in Him? Because good and great and holy things, healing, God-honoring things were happening. I want to be there. That's where I want to be. If our heart's right, your actions will be right. Ruth comes and presents herself. The whole thing could have crumbled, but she did it in a God-honoring way. And Boaz says, blessed art thou. The counter of this is true, isn't it? When our heart attitude is wrong, things start breaking that we talked about last week. I start forcing against things. Is God in the starting of a weed eater? Can I ask you, brother? Is God in the start? Mine wouldn't start the other day. And then I have a little watershed. What am I going to do? Well, I cranked it about 50 times. You can talk to this shoulder about that. Is it? But I'm in the little things of our heart attitude. Finally, I said, Lord, come in your mercy. Help me to start this. I can't hold up. About two or three more. Boom. I was a celebrating man out there in my grubby clothes. God was in it. We laugh. Do you not think He wants to own those times? He does own them. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy steps. David said He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You're going out on lunch, you're just taking a break, you don't have much time, where you go, who are you going to see? Lord, show me your way, I want to walk with you. You never know what's fixing to happen. I didn't go vote in spring of 1986 to meet Mac and Linda Tomlinson. I didn't care about Mac and Linda Tomlinson, so I didn't know them. But I went to a place and God had it appointed and we met and our lives have been connected and God's mercy has been on that. You see, so many stories, so many truths here for us. Let's wrap it up. Well, Boaz says, you have another kinsman that could redeem you. In a sense, Boaz says, hang on. I will check this out. So Boaz in chapter 4, he gathers together the other relative. Whoever this man was, that man would have first opportunity to redeem Naomi's land back and anything under Naomi, which included this young woman, Ruth. So Boaz does it the honorable way. He goes and gathers that man, 10 elders from the city. He tells them all that has happened. And he says to this man, this relative, do you want to redeem all that there is, including this young woman, Ruth? Because a part of taking Ruth was even this thing of marriage and children, continuing the name of that family. And the close relative says, look down at verse 8, I'm in chapter 4, buy it for thee. He took off his shoe, sandal. He held. That was a symbol of this is our agreement. Buy it for thee. That's a good sermon title. The Lord Jesus bought us with His own precious blood. Pick it up in chapter 11. Boaz now is going to take Ruth and marry her. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that is come into thine house like Rachel and Leah, which too did build the house of Israel. I'll stop there. The watershed started with, I'll just go with your people. Now, this man, probably the most honorable man in the whole community, Boaz, now redeems Ruth to himself for her to be his wife. She has gone from being a Moabite to being brought into a family, loses her husband before she ever bears children, to being brought to Judah, to being brought to the most honorable man who then sees her as a woman under God's wings and he takes her to be his wife. What is their prayer for her? The Lord make you to be like Rachel and Leah. What are they saying? The Lord make you fruitful. The Lord make you to be bear for His name, children, to continue the name of God. Just glorious. So what happens? He marries her. He marries Ruth and she bears a son, Obed. And who is Obed? We get to the very end of the book and the writer, whoever it was, we're not certain who wrote this one, maybe Samuel, but she now is in the line of David because Obed is his grandfather. So that makes Ruth David's great-grandmother. Great-great-grandmother. And she is now truly not only just under God's wings, she's in the whole line leading up to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people in this community, the people stood back. Naomi, they said to Naomi, look what God has done. She's better to you than 10 sons. She's better to you than anything you could have asked. What they're saying is God is with you. The mercies of God, the blessing of God is on it. Ruth, Boaz, children, the whole line of their family, their name, the plan, the redemptive plan of God proceeds in the infinite wisdom of God. Watersheds are important. Key decisions are important, right? Where we are, who we follow, what we put ourselves under, they're important. And things that you stay away from flow out of that. Let me close with a few final thoughts. Beloved, remember the lifelong impact of the decisions you make. Children, hear me. Remember the lifelong impact of the decisions you make. Never take this lightly. They are and can be real watershed moments that affect your life and countless others and what's ahead. The decisions, I want to be with God, I want to be with His people, I want to be where He is. Oh, beloved, the life of Ruth speaks to us. Put yourself under the wings of the Almighty. Make decisions, brothers, sisters. Make decisions that I'm going to be under the wings of God. Think about that. We don't just pick a church. Well, I guess I'll start looking for a church. We don't just try to think about our work. Well, I guess all of it. Put yourself under God's wings. Let Him direct you, plant you, make you fruitful, build you up, give you a posterity. Magnify His name. You hear that? What a precious reality for us in Jesus Christ. Let's stay under His wings. Let's go with Him. His protection, His provision, His tender care all the way. Oh, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the life of Ruth. Oh, Lord, that here we are all these years later beholding the grace of God on this woman, Ruth. Lord, she there choosing to go with Naomi, choosing to be with the people of God, to be under You. And what You brought out of this speaks with tremendous power to all of us. To stay under the wings of God, to be under You. Lord, thank You. Thank You for giving us this book. Thank You, Lord, for the testimony of grace, kindness, the love of God, the leading hand of God. Lord, this is not just a piece of history. This is a redemptive, glorious gospel message to us. I pray that our children would hear it. Lord, bring them under Your wings. Let none of these sons and daughters go anywhere else for their shelter, for their protection. Draw them to You. Draw them, Holy Spirit. Blessed be Your name. Help us, Lord, to walk in these truths more and more each day, today, tomorrow, and this week. Through the Lord Jesus, we bless you. Amen.